ذاك العادل في علا من أبدع الكون سوى سبحان الله وبحمد الله ولا إله إلا الله ذاك العادل في علا من أبدع الكون سوى سبحان الله وبحمد الله ولا إله إلا الله.
فهذا هو اللقاء التاسع تحت عنوان الشيطان العدو اللدود لبني آدم، مذهب الشيطان وجهاده. Today inshallah we'll be talking about the ideology of the shaitan and how to fight it back, how to dedicate ourselves to fight the ideology or the madhab of the shaitan. يحيى بن معن said أن الشيطان عتيق وأنت جديد، وهو يراك وأنت لا تراه، وهو لا ينساك وأنت تنساه، وهو فارغ وأنت مشغول، وهمه الوحيد هو هلاكك وأنت عندك هموم كثيرة. يحيى بن معن told us how to be aware of the shaitan. He said that he is very old. He was there before you and you are very new to this world. He sees you and you don't see him. You forget him and he doesn't forget you. You are very busy and he's not. You're the only job he has. And his ambition is one, to destroy you, and you have too many ambitions and too many worries. We said before that the main worry of the shaitan is to make a person commit kufr. That is number one thing that he looks for, and that's why he continues to do that until the last minute before the person departs from this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in Surah Yasin, أَلَمْ أَعْهَدْ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ وَأَنِ اعْبُدُونِي هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ وَلَقَدْ أَضَلَّ مِنْكُمْ جِبِلًّا كَثِيرًا أَفَلَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْقِلُونَ. This ayah is very clear, telling us who is the shaitan and what his plan and who is he and what did he do to us. Did he succeed or did he not? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, did I entrust to you all the children of Adam? Didn't I tell you that? Do not worship the shaitan. You might wonder, how can someone worship the shaitan? I'll give you an example and you can relate. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abdullah ibn Salam, or Abdullah ibn Salam, he is one of the greatest scholars of the Jews. When he told him that you used to worship your rabbis and priests, he said, oh Prophet of Allah, we never did. I was one of them. This is not what we were doing. He said, didn't they used to make the haram halal for you and the halal haram for you? He said, yes. He said, this is your worship. You accepted it. You took it. It's not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, didn't I tell you not to worship the shaitan? So how do we worship the shaitan? Whatever he whispers to us, we obey him. This is our worship to him. We should obey only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and only Allah. And the shaitan is not to be obeyed. So he said, إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. He is the person who vowed to misguide you, so he is your clear enemy. It's not an enemy that is hiding undercover. He is very clear, and he declared it loud and clear. وَأَنْ اعْبُدُونِي, and worship me. This is my command to you. Do not worship the shaitan and worship me, because this is the straight path. Then he subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَقَدْ أَضَلَّ مِنْكُمْ جِبِلًّا كَثِيرًا. He had misguided, deviated a great multitude of you. So he succeeded. He succeeded. He had deviated many people from the straight path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَفَلَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْقِلُونَ. Don't you have any brains to reason with? Didn't I tell you he is your enemy? Didn't I tell you not to listen to him? Didn't I tell you worship me and not him? Well, you failed to do that, and that's why he misguided you. And this is also very clear when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ألم تر أن الله يسجد له من في السماوات ومن في الأرض والشمس والقمر والنجوم والجبال والشجر والدواب وكثير من الناس، كثير من الناس وليس كل الناس. وهذا تصديق ولقد أضل منكم جبلا كثيرا. This ayah that I have just recited, it proves that a great multitude of the people has been misguided, worship the shaitan, listen to the shaitan, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this ayah, can't you see that everything in heavens and earth bows and praises and worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then he named subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, the heavens, the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, the mountains, the trees, even the animals, and many of the people, but not all the people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us clearly that He has succeeded in deviating many of the people from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's the ideology of the shaitan, the madhab of the shaitan? أي مذهب لابد إلا أن يكون في أوامر ونواهي. Any doctrine, any ideology, it has to have commands, do and don't do. It has to have that, otherwise it would not be considered one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the messengers and revealed the books upon us, so He tells us what to do and what not to do. Here's the same way, the shaitan. Shaitan said, وَلَأُضِلَّنَّهُمْ وَلَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ وَلَأَمُرَنَّهُمْ وَلَأَمُرَنَّهُمْ. هذا هو المذهب، يعني سوف آمرهم بالمعصية وأنهاهم عن الطاعة. He said, the shaitan said, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, I'm going to misguide them, I'm going to give them too much hope, and I'm going to command them. Command them to do what? To do the haram and stay away from the halal. Command them to do the prohibitions and stay away from the obligations, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was sent to the Arabs, the pagans at that time, they all fought him. Why did they fight him? They used to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who created heavens and earth. They used to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created people. They used to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of resurrecting people. They used to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creating things and all of that. So they used to believe in all of that. So why did they fight him? They fought him because for the simple things that he subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for them not to associate any parts with him and direct their worship only to him. They did not do that. They used to go to the statues, to the asnam, and they used to ask them, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they used to have an intermediary between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they even told Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَ مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَ. We don't worship them but so they can draw us closer to Allah. This is exactly the shirk. This is the shirk, is to get someone or to look into someone to draw you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You go to the grave to a dead person and you ask him to do something for you, or to ask him to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do something for you. This is exactly the shirk. So this is what they rejected. And they used to understand la ilaha illallah a lot more than we do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, as soon as he said, قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحوا, say that there is no deity worthy of worship but Allah, you will be successful. They immediately answered, أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَٰهًا وَاحِدًا إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. Oh wow, he made all the gods one god. What a strange thing. Because they worship idols and they have several idols. How can you make all of that or drop all of that and just only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So they understood the meaning of La ilaha illallah. They understood that because their conclusion is If we believe in it, then we have to abandon the idols. And that is the meaning of La ilaha illallah, idols or anything that people worship of that sort. Let's look at the namadij min tawheed al-uluhiyya, some models of the unification of divinity, or tawheed al-uluhiyya, or the tawheed of al-ubudiyya, you could say that, which is the unity of worship, worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and only making it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in al-hukmu illa lillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who can decree. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who can judge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who can rule. In al-hukmu illa lillah, amara an la ta'budu illa iyyah. Ruling is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He commanded not to worship but Him. And another ayah, وَهُوَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ لَهُ الْحَمْدُ فِي الْأُولَى وَالْآخِرَةِ وَلَهُ الْحُكْمُ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He is only, He is Allah, there is no deity worthy of worship but Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, to Him belongs the praise in the beginning and at the end, and He is the judge, He is the governor, He is the ruler. And then He said in another ayah, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَا. Everything is mortal, everything is going to die except Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَهُ الْحُكْمُ. To Him is the judgment, He is the one to rule, and you all shall go back to Him. And then He subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاللَّهُ يَحْكُمْ لَا مُعَقِّبَ لِحُكْمِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judge, and there is no appeal, and there is no nullification of what He has decided, because He is the only one who can do that. So from this we can conclude that Tawheed al-Hakimiyya akhas khasa'is Tawheed al-Ubudiyya. When you talk about the governance or the unification of governance, ruling is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the most distinctive characteristic of the traits or the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is forbidden for anyone to do any of that. No one can tell you, do this, or this is preferred, and this is a wajib, and this is a haram, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messengers. This is the tawheed, brothers, that we said from the beginning. This is what the shaitan's ideology is, to deviate you away from this. And we said that he has soldiers from his own and soldiers from us, from our own blood and flesh, human beings. Those people, this is what they tried to instill in the hearts of our generations, which is, when they started teaching the religion in the schools, they started a statement that is very deceptive. They used to say that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to the pagans, and before they used to prostrate for asnam, for the idols, and they used to kill their children alive, and they used to drink alcohol, and they used to kill, and they continued to say that when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to those people, they used to. Those people. And it is known that ما تكرر تكرر. Anything that is reiterated, it's going to be decided. You keep hearing the same message over and over and over, then what settles in your mind? That, okay, you don't see people now when they have children, you know, going and burying their children. You don't see many people here doing the same thing that the pagans used to do. Even if you want to say alcohol, some people drink alcohol, but the majority don't drink alcohol. And even if they drink, they know it is prohibited. You don't see people worshiping idols. You come and tell one person, brother, don't hang any pictures for living things, you know, like human beings or animals and such, not for trees and such. Don't do that. And he goes, why? And we say, well, because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said angels will not enter a house that has that. Well, this is one. What's another one? It may lead to worshiping. They're going to laugh at you. Especially now, you come and you tell them, oh, you think I'm going to worship a picture? You think I'm crazy? We are in the 21st century. We don't do that. Well, how did that start it? Let's go back at the time of Nuh alayhi salam, Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. Some righteous people died. We got to make them a little bit. Shaitan came to them and said, they cannot be the same graves like everyone else. You got to make a little distinction. Raise it a little bit more, a little bit higher, a little bit higher, a little bit higher. Put a picture on them. And those people died. Their children came. Well, my father used to do this. My father used to come. My father. They cared so much for them to the point over years. It's not going to be a day or two or a year or two. Years come by after that. And they start worshiping them. So when you come and you tell someone like that, they laugh at you because their lack of, you know, this is like someone I was speaking to, a Christian guy at UTA the other last week. They have week awareness, Islam week awareness of Islam. Anyway, and he was telling me that I'm not afraid of death. Yeah, and I said, what's after death? He said, I'm not worried about it. I'm not afraid of death. And I said, well, you're not afraid of death for two reasons. Either you don't know what death is. Okay, that is one. You don't know what it is. Or you're just simply not a believer. Yani, why would a person not afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ignorant? Or you don't know Him? Because if you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you definitely have to fear Him. And if you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you definitely have to love Him. Both? Yes, both. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got all the qualities that makes you fear Him, and He got all the qualities that makes you love Him. All the qualities that makes you really love Him and Him only. And He got all the qualities to only fear Him and Him only. That is why when you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't worry about people. That's the meaning of fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you do this, this is what I'm going to do to you. And then a human being comes and threatens you to do something. أَتَخْشَوْنَهُمْ فَاللَّهُ أَحَقُّ أَن تَخْشَوْهُ. What's the condition? إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. You fear them? Allah is more deserving of fear if you are truly believers. So you're really ignorant. You don't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why you don't fear Him. So in order for us to fear Allah, we have to know Him. And in order for us to love Allah, we have to know Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here you have people that continually telling you this prophet was sent at that time and none of that stuff is no longer there or it's inapplicable. So people think that it's not going to happen. So just like when I gave you the example for the picture, people don't think of that. One brother, wallahi, one time, he had his mother's picture in a room and we were talking about that. And he started laughing when I told him that. And we're going to start the prayer. And I asked him, and I told him, could you put the picture of your mother down, please? He said, oh, no, not that one. And I said, wow, it's not going to lead you to anything. You're willing to drop every other pictures, but not the picture of your mother. Your son is going to see that, and his grandson are going to see that, and you're telling me that is not a sign to have really to start thinking about what you are doing is not the right thing. A lot of people don't realize that, but this is what they are trying to instill in the hearts and the minds of the new generation, that Islam or Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to the pagans and no more paganism nowadays, so we don't have to follow. Or that's what they say, this is 21st century and that was for old people, this is for primitive people. The teachings of Islam are not applicable for today, they are for that time. And this is the lead that the shaitan loves and which it will end up with the people in committing kufr. Tayyib. Many people don't adhere to the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Islam, until they are stricken with a calamity. Then immediately you find them coming and they're asking Oh, Sheikh, I have my house. I bought it from riba. I used to deal with haram. My children, I took care of them with that money. I built my house with that money, my car with that money, my everything in that money. I cannot get out of it. I cannot get out of it. Give me a solution. What's the solution? What's the solution? I'm going to tell you, get out of the house, get out of the car, throw up everything you eat. This is a solution. You already stuck yourself in there. Many people have companies. They hire consultants. They hire everything to improve their business, to make sure that the bargain that they are buying is good or not good, to think of the stock market, to read about everything. They hire special people and they pay a lot of money. How many of the business people have a knowledgeable Muslim whom they ask whenever they involve themselves with some bargains, is this halal or is this haram or what am I supposed to do? How many? You look around. Many Muslim with companies. How many companies have a special sheikh or a special scholar that they consult with all the time before they enter the business or before they do any transaction? And guess what? It's free. It's free, they don't do it. When do they come back to it? At the time of calamity. When someone is filled to bits and now he is in deep trouble, when your son goes out of control, when your son is dealing with drugs, when your son marries a non-Muslim or goes commits adultery or get alcoholic or something like that, you start coming, deal with my child. Where were you? Have you ever heard of Islamic schools before? Have you ever heard of Sunday school or weekend school or a special instructor or you yourself or your wife do something with those children? Have you thought about those, period? No. You wait until that time. Wallahi, brothers, wallahi al-azim. This is off the topic, but it's all connected. When someone comes and tells me about his problems with his children, where you find the child pushing his father against a couch, hurting him and threatening him that he will beat him up. And you have another child, when he argues with his wife, holds him from the back and says, deal with it. Don't move away, because he doesn't want to argue, he wants to move away. He forces him to. Brothers, when you have those kind of children, those kind of children, what kind of a father and a mother you are? When you find a wife watching her children do such a thing to their father, I don't care if he is the worst husband. I would never ever let my children treat their mom like that, even if she is not even a Muslim. How can someone do that? Brothers, we're too far liberated. If you want to call that, actually, we are too far condemned. We are too far chained with our perverted mentality, with all the things that we think that we are. Wallahi, brothers, we are in mirage. What you see is not what you get. Everything is twisted. Everything is going the other way. People don't care. People attracted so much to this dunya. They worship themselves. They worship their desires. They worship their wealth. They worship the... I don't know what to tell you, but this is what the shaitan is leading you to. This is what the shaitan is working on you. These are the armies that the shaitan recruiting day and night from the human being to fight and to go against the human being. When you find someone falls into trouble, then he comes back to the masjid when it's too late, or comes back for a nasiha when it's too late. How can you help that person when he is too deep in the trouble? Look at the keenness of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he wanted to teach his companions about worshiping Allah, fearing Allah, loving Allah, and only Allah without associating partners with Him. Look at this vision or a dream. Tufail ibn Sakhbara, أخي عائشة لأمها رأى فيما يرى النائم. One of the brothers of Aisha from her mother's side saw a vision. He passed by a group of Jews and he said, you are the people. يعني the good people. If you don't say Uzair or Isra is the son of Allah. So they answered, you are the people if you don't say Masha Allah wa Sha'a Muhammad, which is basically another form of shirk, to say whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wills. This wa, the wow, makes them the same in ruling. Look how they answered him. In the dream, he passed also by a group of Christians. He said, you are the people if you don't say Jesus or Isa alayhi salam is the son of God. So they answered him, you are the people if you don't say Ma sha Allah wa sha Muhammad. So they repeated the same thing, if you don't say that, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills and his messenger wills. He went, he woke up, he went told Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, Hal akhbarta ahada? Did you tell anyone? He said yes. So he went and he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he said, Inna tufaylan ra'a ru'ya fa akhbara biha man akhbara minkum wa innakum kuntum taquluna kalima kana yamna'uni al-haya' منكم أن أنهاكم عنها لا تقولوا ما شاء الله وشاء محمد بل قولوا ما شاء الله وحده. He said صلى الله عليه وسلم, addressing the companions, Tufail had a vision and he told some of you and some of you did not, but you used to say whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills and Muhammad wills. And I used to not tell you to stop that because I was shy of you. Now the command came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to say that. Don't say whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wills. Say whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills alone. Look, in a small letter, make a distinction. This is like we normally say, Wallahi lola Allah wa lolaak. That's shirk. If you say, hadn't it been for Allah and you, that is shirk. According, based to that, because you're making yourself or the other person equal to Allah. It is, lawlallah thumma lawlak. Hadn't it been for Allah, then you. So this is something that we fall into all the time without knowing it. So to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah told us, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَا تَصِفُ أَلْسِنَتُكُمُ الْكَذِبُ هَذَا حَلَالٌ وَهَذَا حَرَامٌ لِتَفْتَرُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبُ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَفْتَرُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبَ لَا يُفْلِحُونَ. Don't just come and say and utter with your tongue, this is halal and this is haram. So you lie on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those people who lie about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never prosper in this dunya and in the hereafter. 13 years, brothers, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam continually calling people to worship Allah and to not associate any partners. And based on that, based on this word, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam declared, La yarithul muslimul kafir wa lal kafirul muslim, that there is no inheritance between a believer and a disbeliever, even if they are husbands and wives. Even if they are husbands and wives. That's the meaning when the group of the companions went to Abyssinia and they asked him about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about those companions who ran away, made hijrah. What did he call for? First thing they said, he came with a religion that alienated the father from the mother, the father from the mother, and the father from the son, and the son from the mother, and the relatives dispersed them, split the relationship among them. You know what that means? Because of the inheritance, because of marriage and such, because a Muslim and a non-Muslim, many rulings are applicable here to do or to not do. That's the meaning, that's what's based on it. That's the difference, that's why he said, Antumul Qawm, you are the people. Why? Because they are the people of the book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed upon Abu Bakr and the Jews and the Christians. But the problem is they associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of people make that very lightly. I want to unite the people here. Some deviated people think that we have to unite people, then after we unite the people, we talk about that, Tawheed. No, it's before you unite. You unite them on the Tawheed, not on the words and promises and such. And some of them falsely, and I personally heard it with my ears, from a da'iyah on a program that he said, when Prophet Musa alayhi salam went to receive the scrolls from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he left his brother Harun alayhi salam with the people to take care of them, and they start worshiping the calf, he said that he let them worship the calf because he doesn't want to disunite them. Because had he did something, then they will be disunited. And the word of Prophet Musa alayhi salam to him is, be careful not to do anything bad or disunite the people. He said, اخلفني في قومي وأصلح. Take care of those people after me and make sure you do islah, because disunity is fasad. Unity is islah. So he claimed that Prophet Harun alayhi salam sat back watching them worship the calf, and because he doesn't want to disunite them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly says, وَلَقَدْ قَالَ لَهُمْ هَارُونُ مِنْ قَبْلُ يَا قَوْمِ إِنَّمَا فُتِنْتُمْ بِهِ وَإِنَّ رَبَّكُمُ الرَّحْمَانِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي وَأَطِيعُوا أَمْرِي. Very clearly, he said, oh my people, you have been tried with this. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful, the beneficent, is your Lord. Listen to me and follow my command. And guess what? In a different ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَخَذَ بِرَأْسِ أَخِيهِ يَجُرُّهُ إِلَيْهِ. Prophet Musa alayhi salam grabbed the head of his brother, pulling him toward him. He was very angry. He started pulling him from his hair, from his beard. He was angry. Look what he said. قَالَ يَبْنَ أُمَّ لَا تَأْخُذْ بِلِحْيَتِي وَلَا بِرَأْسِي. إِنِّي خَشِيتُ أَن تَكُولَ فَرَّقْتَ بَيْنَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ وَلَمْ تَرْكُبْ قَوْلِي. This is one, that's the one they used to conclude that خَشِيتُ أَن تَكُولَ فَرَّقْتَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ قَوْمِي. I fear that you will say you caused disunity in the people. They used that ayah to prove that Harun alayhi salam did not do anything. But in Surah Al-A'raf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yaqul, وَأَخَذَ بِرَأْسِ أَخِيهِ يَجُرُّهُ إِلَيْهِ قَالَ ابْنَ أُمَّنْ إِنَّ الْقَوْمَ اسْتَضْعَفُونِي وَكَادُوا يَقْتُلُونَنِي فَلَا تُشْبِتْ بِيَ الْأَعْدَى. He said, oh my brother, I have done what I have done. I told them, don't do that and worship Allah. But I was alone, I was weak, and they were about to kill me. So he sat there and did nothing, according to this da'iyah who claimed this, subhanallah, all just to what? To make unity. And what kind of a unity that you're going to get from people who don't know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is and what He wants and what is the definition of shirk and the definition of tawheed. What time you have? Now this is getting really hot here because we haven't started, really, to be honest with you. Because jihad of shaitan, to declare jihad against the shaitan, the struggle against the shaitan is very long. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah told us in precautioning us from Iblis and his army, he said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tried us with the shaitan and he incited him against us as a test, he gave him his army and gave us our army. And he had established the market of jihad against the shaitan. You know what that means, the struggle. And the biggest and the highest struggle is the struggle against yourself and against dunya and against the shaitan and against your whims and desires. These are the four major enemies. So he said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did that, he bought the lives and the wealths of the people. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. They fight in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this fight is against themselves and against the shaitan and against the dunya and against the enemy and against your whims and desires. All of that. فَيَقْتُلُونَ وَيُقْتَلُونَ. They fight and they may die and they may not. وَعْدًا عَلَيْهِ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. That they will do this. They will sell their lives, sell their wealth, fight those enemies, and the reward is the Jannah. It's a promise. It's a decree from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He has declared that, and He has confirmed that and affirmed it in the Quran, in the Torah, and in the Injil. So who said there is no jihad in Christianity and Judaism? This is a declare against any enemies. Yourself. That's the biggest struggle and the biggest jihad, is to suppress yourself for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the toughest one is the shaitan. That's why in Islam it's called the great struggle. And look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. وَمَنْ أَوْفَى بِعَهْدِهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ. يعني مين هناك أكثر وفاء وتحقيق لهذا الوعد من الله سبحانه وتعالى. الله الواعد. أنت يعني بعت نفسك وتعاقدت مع الله. والله سبحانه وتعالى اللي وعدك, والله سبحانه وتعالى اللي سيجازيك. You made that bargain with Allah, not a normal human being, and He promised you heaven. And this is the bargain that you have took with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who's going to fulfill that better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So he did that. So he has shaitan and he has you. Shaitan has enemies, you have support against those enemies. Jihad struggle is going to start between us and the shaitan and his enemies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, sell yourself, sell your wealth against them and fight, and I will give you the Jannah. Then he confirmed it again. He said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَتُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Shall I show you a successful trade? Believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger and fight in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's the result? He will forgive your sins, يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَيُدْخِلْكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ, and He will admit you to gardens of heaven. Look at that. Think, didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Shaitan said, I'm going to ruin and misguide everyone, except your sincere believers. Now, sincere believers don't have a problem with the shaitan? We all have problems, sincere or not. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He even incited the shaitan against the believers, because to Him, this struggle, this jihad against the shaitan, is so beloved to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He even wanted His sincere believers to deal with it against the shaitan, because He loves it and it is very dear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the most closest or the dearest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. So the one in charge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gave the banner to whom? To the most or the best and the most noblest and the most honorable part of the body, the heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this banner of struggle and put it in the hands of the heart, the most beloved and the most noble in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in the heart, love for Allah. In the heart, the sincerity lies. In the heart, reliance lies. In the heart, the fears lies. All of those things lies in the heart. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make the heart the king, or the one who is going to deal with the shaitan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supported it with angels. لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهُ مِنْ خَلْفِهِ يَحْفَظُونَهَا مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. Angels to support the believers. We have examples in the battle of Badr, in the battle of Hunayn, in other, many other, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the battle of Khandaq, He sent wind. In the battle of Badr, He sent angels. The battle of Hunayn sent angels to support the believers and to strengthen their hearts. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supported us with what? With His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the Quran and the book. So, and He supported us with something else bigger, our brain, our mind, to arrange our army with knowledge, so we know how to manufacture and how to make the weapons and everything to fight with iman, so we always relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are sure and not scared when we deal with the shaitan. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supported us with inward and outward powers. He gave us the eye as the forefront. He gave us the ear to receive the information and analyze it. Gave us the tongue to talk and defend. Gave us the hands and the feet and the legs as aids. All for what? Against the shaitan. And then He subhanahu wa ta'ala told His angels and those angels who carry the throne, make tasbih and ask me for forgiveness for my servants, the believers who are launching that war against the shaitan. And He said, أُولَٰئِكَ حِزْبُ اللَّهِ أَلَا إِنَّ حِزْبَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Those are the people, and those are the people of the allies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are the successful. And then He commanded us with four words. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صبروا وصابروا ورابطوا واتقوا الله لعلكم تفلحون. Be patient. صابروا. Be more patient than your enemy. We're dealing with the shaitan. In fighting him. And more patient in taking the pain and the suffering in fighting him. And once you succeed that, then make sure you guard your weaknesses. Guard your eyes, guide your ears, guard your hands, guard your feet, guard your tongue, because these are the entrances to destroy the heart. Shaitan is going for that. And the heart is defending the shaitan. So we have a war. We have a war. We have a shaitan here with his enemies, with his supporters, and we have you resembled in the heart with all the supporters. And you have weaknesses, and guess what? One time, if you let go of your guard, if you put your guard down of any of those entrances to the heart, you will lose. An example. In the battle of Badr, in the battle of Uhud, Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, 50 of the archers stay on top of the mountain even if you see the birds snatching us. Don't come down, stay there. Don't come for our help even if we all eradicate it. And don't come for the spoils of the war even if we won. When the war was about over, what did they decide? They said, hey, it's over. Disbelievers are running. Some of them said, let's go. It's over. What are we staying here? Some said no. Jubayr radiallahu anh, he stayed there with few people. When they let their guard down, what happened? They lost it. The enemy came back and almost Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam got killed. Why? Because they let down their guard. They did not listen to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those ears did not work properly. They were not taking the words of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam seriously. The shaitan entered and actually he yelled in the battle. He is the one who declared Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam died. Shaitan screamed loud. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, so he would put the fear in the hearts of the companions. And you know, it's not something simple to know that your leader has been killed. And who is leader? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know the love that they have, and indeed he did. And what happened? Some of the companions just became paralyzed. Anas ibn al-Nadr. And when he passed by a companion, I believe Mu'adh or some other companion. He told him, what are you waiting? He said, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam died. And he said, well, go die for the same thing he died for. What are you going to live after him for? And he left him and went. Why? All that because they let their guards down, and the shaitan took advantage of that, and he screamed that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam died. So think of all of this. Be patient. Be more patient than your enemy, the shaitan, in this particular situation. And make sure you guard all the entrances to your heart. And inshallah, next time we'll enter the war with the shaitan, and we'll see how the shaitan is going to attack. That would be next time, inshallah. And if you have any question, inshallah, we'll answer some. Otherwise, subhanak allahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. For the meantime, you have two armies ready to attack. And we will see how either one will fight and defend, and who will be the winners.
هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو؟ فالشمس